this is Allison Sheridan of the No Silicast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. Today is Tuesday, March 2nd, 2010, and this is show number 248. What? A show on a Tuesday? How could that happen? Well, this is a special show because I just had too darn much content to fit in Sunday's show. I know, it's a funny concept of what fits in a spongy thing that has no size, but I have this sense of obligation to make the show length somewhat predictable. This special episode is an interview with Amber Grainer from the Ubuntu Women's Network, which you can find at the IRC chat room, Ubuntu-Women and Ubuntu-Women-Project on irc.freenode.net. We're not going to have a chit-chat across the pond for this midweek show, even though I did try to convince Bart to do an extra one. I guess three podcasts in one weekend was enough for him. You know, he's such a slacker. But anyway, before we dig in, I want to give a quick word from our sponsor, the great guys over at ScreenSteps.com. On Sunday, I talked about how frustrated I get with people who think ScreenSteps is a screen capture program, but it's a documentation program. With all that said, ScreenSteps actually does have a great screen capture tool built in. If you're trying to explain step-by-step how to do something on the computer, it's critical that you be able to show pull-down menus. The capture utility in ScreenSteps lets you do timed snapshots. You can choose 2, 4, 6, or 8 seconds to get things set up. ScreenSteps also excels at annotation on those screenshots. Drop shadow, arrows, boxes, ovals, and my favorite, the sequence numbers you can add. So many times you're telling people like three different things they need to do on the same screen, and ScreenSteps makes that so elegant your consumer can't possibly misunderstand your directions. So you click on the screen, give it your three little 1, 2, 3, and then down in the text you type 1 and what you want to say, and 2 and what you want to say, and 3 and what you want to say. So when you print that thing to PDF or to HTML or export, I should say, you've got the screen step directions, and you've also got the annotations on the screenshot, so it really, really blends well together, and people can't possibly misunderstand. Well, some people probably can. I recommend screen steps for your professional life to enhance productivity at your company. I recommend it for your personal life in helping friends and family. And I even think it's great to document things for yourself that you don't do very often, so it's easy to forget how to do them. There's no downside to ScreenSteps, so go ahead and go over to ScreenSteps.com and drop in the coupon code NOSILLA, that's my name spelled backwards in all capital letters, for 25% off the purchase price. ScreenSteps standard is only $40, so after the coupon code, it's only $30. Go, now, do it! Download it while you listen to Amber and me talk about her journey to Ubuntu from the Mac. Last week, I went to the Scale Conference, which is the Southern California Linux Expo, which is actually kind of transformed into an open source expo. It's not just about Linux. But anyway, within that, there was an UbuCon track, which is actually an Ubuntu conference embedded inside Scale. UbuCon is a thing in of itself. And it's all about the Linux distro Ubuntu. And in that, I went to a really, really good presentation by a woman named Amber Grainer. And her talk was about how every non-technical end user is someone else's guru. And I really resonated with that because I'm always telling you guys, you know, no matter how much you know, somebody else knows more, and how little you know, somebody else knows less. So I thought that was a really great topic. While she was talking, though, she mentioned something interesting. She said she used to be an all Mac girl for a long time, but now she's migrated over fully to Linux. So I thought it'd be fun to get her on the show and argue with her about that and give her, you know, poke her, tell her she's wrong, and then she'll convince me she's right, and we'll have a lot of fun. So I would like to welcome to the show Amber Grainer. Welcome, Amber.
And thanks for having me. We'll just jump right into the whole Mac thing. And we'll...
Okay, you're wrong. No, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so we could do this a nah, you're right kind of thing. But
how did this start? I mean, you're all Mac. What happened?
Well, let me back up a little bit because it actually started long before I got introduced to the Macs. I was sort of my first computer ever was like a TRS-80, or a TRS Model 3, I think, back in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like eighth grade, you know, something to do. New shiny something, you know, in the classroom, and then progressed to DOS and then to Windows. And then I got really tired of like that lovely, you know, blue screen of death you always hear people joke about.
Joke? It's no joke.
Exactly. So long about this time, I happened to be in the military, and they were looking at using some open source technology for some troops at Fort Bragg. And I'm like, what the heck is open source? So kind of got introduced to that. And those were the days of Slackware when there was like 35 disks, you know, that you had to sort of install and get a soldering iron out to make it work. And while my husband was enjoying this aspect, I'm looking at it going, good luck with that. I'm going to stick with this. So rolling along with Windows for a while, and then along comes, you know, the Macs. And with the Macs, it seemed like pretty much anything you plugged into it just worked. I didn't have to go argue with him to fix something on my computer. It just kind of worked. But in the
so you were a mixed household at this point. You were a Linux and Mac household.
Yeah, we were, and you know those inner distribution or hardware relationships are a little bit tough sometimes.
But every marriage has its challenges, so.
Yeah. I have to be around hardware and software. I could say any marriage is related to that. But no, anyway, that's not this podcast. So in the back of my mind, I always was fascinated with the philosophy of open source and being able to contribute. But there was not a distribution where I didn't have to go and track down people to help me with it. With my Mac, I didn't have to have help.
Right. I do love the philosophy of open source, and I do love a lot of open source tools.
Right. And that was the good thing about it is that when I switched to a Mac, there was a little less argument in our house because my husband could still SSH into my computer and do some remote stuff without if I got into issues with the network. Stuff like that.
Since it's a Unix underneath, that made him happy, I bet.
It did. So that was close enough for a while. So right about that time, he went to work for Canonical, which is the corporate sponsor to the Ubuntu project.
Oh, okay.
So much like the same way that Red Hat is the sponsor behind Fedora and that kind of relationship. It's kind of a symbiotic kind of thing.
Okay.
So, he comes home and I said, what is it you're working on again? What are you doing these days? So he hands me this CD and he hands me this t-shirt. And on the t-shirt it says, Linux for Human Beings. And I died laughing.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I did. I was just like, ha, ha, ha. So, and I'm like, yeah, right. Can I use it? Do you mind if I try it? Because up until this point, I would just laugh because anytime he would give me a Linux computer, or anything with any other distribution on it, it would end up being where I would have to go track him down to help. Or if he would leave on a business trip, I would always pull back out the Mac and hook it back up because something would break.
Right.
So,
well, just getting a Unix person to tell you which distribution to start with is you know, that's like 7 or 8 days of people arguing, going, no, you should be using Whitebox. No, you should be using Red Hot. No, you should be. It seems like it's settling out with this Ubuntu thing.
I think it is, and I tell people all the time, like Zonker, Joe Brockmeyer, who used to work for Novell, would say that Linux distributions are, you know, kind of like your underwear. It's kind of whatever fits, you know. I tell people that it's more like a flavor in that I'm a Coke snob. Kind of like, you know, I love my Coke. Some people like Pepsi. Some people don't like either. But, you know, it all depends on what your palate happens to be. And some people drink water. Well, all right, go to Windows. I'll stick with it. But it is. It's just this choice of flavor or underwear. Like, you know, whatever fits. So I said, okay, let me try it. And within 2 hours of him giving me the disk, I was up and running without any glitches. I was writing my blog. I was connecting to the internet. I was on online classes. Everything I needed to do, I could do with this distribution.
As long as you don't want to install any software.
Oh, no, I still install. Well, it depends on what you're wanting to install. Like, if you want to put a Mac program on here, obviously that, you know, that's not going to work. But
No. Come on. Every time I need to, I keep playing with Ubuntu. I keep putting it on here, and every time I need to do anything, it's like, oh, okay, I'll put a command line, do an apt-get -u- It's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, apparently somebody didn't inform you that you don't need the command line in Ubuntu.
Well, no, because the things somebody will say, oh, check out this application. Here's a new Twitter client called Pino. All right, cool. So I go to the little package installer and it says, no, I don't know where Pino is. So I write back to the guy. He goes, oh, yeah, it's not in the package installer. You got to go to apt-get-g. And it's like, and also I'm in hell. And then he tells me, oh, you got the wrong version of Ubuntu. You're running 9.0.4. You're supposed to be in 9.1 by now, don't you know? Oh, God. It's like,
well, yeah.
It's
and
not
that
easy.
Well, I think, well, maybe it isn't for you because you haven't, like, drank the Linux Kool-Aid yet, but...
I'm trying, Amber. I open it like every month or two and I try again and every time it's just like,
well, that's it. You got to try it like daily because, you know.
But I get stuck. I can't do the one thing I want to do, so I can't keep going. I get stuck.
Well, are you trying to install these things that are just kind of out there or your mainline stuff? Because the mainline things are right there. So.
But I'm not a mainline guy. I mean, that's not what I want to do. My whole purpose was I wanted to see what this Pino client looked like, and the only way I could do it is on Ubuntu. So I go to install it, and all of a sudden I'm like downloading packages and shit. And I'm sorry, excuse my French, but it's just like, and then I tried to upgrade from 9.04 to 9.1, and it tells me it's going to be 2 hours and 35 minutes to run the upgrade because it's downloading at 0.1 kilobytes per second.
I've never experienced that, so I can't. Like, my upgrades take, the maximum time any upgrade has taken for me has probably been maybe 15 minutes.
I tried it 4 separate times, thinking, okay, maybe something's with the network, something's with the server, and it was 1,234 files it had to download, and they were literally coming in at hundreds of kilobytes. I mean, it was...
Okay, I will have to admit that it does take a little bit of getting used to, but even with my Mac updates at times, there were times it would choke on that. So to me, updating is not a big issue, and I even had trouble installing applications on my Mac as well. So I think it just goes to whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you're used to. I know a year ago when I tried to install stuff with Ubuntu, I was kind of screaming at people too. Not everybody has a developer sitting in their living room, so I didn't talk to him. I would actually go online and in our IRC channels and on our mailing lists and stuff like that and ask for questions. And a lot of times I would get the whole command line things and get all the stuff that I don't want to use, because I tell people all the time, if I have to use the command line, there's something wrong.
Okay.
Because with Ubuntu, being that Linux distributions for humans, basically saying that going after the desktop market, after other Linux distributions have gone after the enterprise side of things, Ubuntu came out specifically with the goal in mind that to capture that desktop market share. And in that, one thing that has to happen is that most just regular users, people who switch from a Mac to Linux, people who switch from Windows to Linux, do not use don't use a command line. If you say open up a terminal to somebody, they go, what?
Yeah, that's the world I want to live in. I mean, I by the way, it's not beyond me to go into the command line and just type in. I mean, I'm so hackable. It's comical. You know, I've barely met you, and if you said, here, type this, Allison, I just would, you know. So
right.
I'm not above that. I actually put Ubuntu on my one laptop per child, and I typed in things that were just, I mean, it's Swahili to me. And so I'm not above that, but or below that, anyway, beyond that. But I mean, I still can't get it to work. I've gone in like 4 or 5 times, and I still can't get this one little package to install. I can't do it. So I think if you're just a straight user, somebody who says, okay, I want to go on the web, I want to get my email, I want to do a little chat, I can see it really working for people because it is all there. I mean, it's all installed when you start.
Well, it does. And now with this new release that's coming out, Ubuntu 10.04, Lucid Links.
Oh, Lord, I wonder how long that's going to take. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
so it's a, no, we won't make you download it. I'll actually drop you a disk in the mail if you want.
Well, probably installing from scratch would be fine. It's the upgrade that drives me around the bend.
So it's coming out, and it's going to have this great little integration kind of social program application called Gwibber. And I think the name is just hilarious. I always tease the people who write the program and who work on it. Whenever there's a glitch, I always say, hey, my Gwibber's broken.
But yeah, it sounds like something you shouldn't mention in front of your mother. You know,
it does. You know, so if I can work Gwibber and Chumby into the same sentence, I'm happy.
I love the new names. People have been kidding because we've run out of words. We just have to make up funnier and funnier ones.
Yeah, and I think it's fun. But what it does is it integrates like all these, whether you're using Twitter or Identica or Facebook or like all these social networking kind of clients, they're all available for you to respond in Gwibber, and it just sends it out to all of them. Or you can pick and choose, much the way TweetDeck works. You know, you can pick and choose which accounts you want to tweet to. You can pick which accounts in your social marketing network that you want to blast out your status to.
That sounds like fun.
And then we have this great thing called empathy. And empathy works very much the same way Pigeon does. So there's a lot of clients, a lot of applications that will be in perfected, I guess, hopefully, in 10.04, that will bring that social networking that everybody's so hip and hop and happening about right now to the Linux desktop.
So, by the way, when she mentions Pigeon, that's an instant messenger client for Linux, or actually for Windows.
Yeah, but it works on Linux as well. So,
yeah, but that's really easy to download and install. Just open that package manager, huh?
It is. As a matter of fact, you can do that. So if you pull out your notebook right now and you go there, so if you go to Software Center, you can actually download that very easily. So, and now the other thing that's come out again with Karmic, which was 9.10 and now with 10.4, there's what's called an Ubuntu Software Center. And
I haven't seen that yet. So I don't think that's a 9.04, is it? I just might not know where to look.
I have it right now. I mean, it's not in 9.04. No, it's not in 9.04, but it is in 9.10, the Karmic Koala one.
Oh, okay.
So what this is, what the cool thing about it is that it's very much like other software centers that you have, where you can go in, kind of see the icons, can click on it. And what was rolled out at the last Ubuntu Developer Summit in Dallas was that they're now making the move to be able to get music through there. So whether kind of like iTunes kind of thing, where you can buy music or you can get the
cool
Creative Commons type of music. So it's moving in that direction as well. So all of these great things that you can get with the Mac are now are being developed for Ubuntu as well. So it's great to see people out in the community have these great ideas, kind of pitch them to the developers, or the developers sort of brainstorm it at the developer conferences, and then to see what comes out of it, because Ubuntu is developed on a 6-month cycle, so every 6 months a new release is coming out, and new and better tools and applications are on the
Cool. That's kind of neat to know. So when is this 10 point whatever version due?
When is it going to be released? The end of April.
Oh, okay. So it's worth me figuring out this 9.10 or whatever, this newer version. I should probably let it run and get that one going, because it'll be a little while.
Right. And what it is and how you can tell when things are going to be released, the first number in an Ubuntu distribution, like I'm talking about 10.04. So the 10 is the year, which is 2010.
Oh.
And the month is the fourth month. So where you're saying 9.4, that was April 2009. And then, so that's the cycle that it's released on.
I see. So just like you know, Office 2007 that came out in 2009, things like that.
Yeah, but we don't slip. the developers for Ubuntu do not slip a release. If they say, I think it's been slipped once in the 5 years, and now they're on such a great cycle and have such a great community and developers that they just don't slip these things.
I wanted to get into that a little bit, if you don't mind, is I think a lot of your joy about Ubuntu is the community itself.
It's very much the community. I mean, I like all the geeky, nerdy, whatever kind of stuff. No offense to anybody, but I mean,
no, we embrace that here.
Yeah, I mean, I came out of the closet and embraced my inner geekiness. I mean, so it's not a big deal. But to me, it is the community part of it. And when you, and this is the thing, I guess, that kind of sold me on Ubuntu over my Mac, probably the one point more than anything, was when I opened my Mac, I don't have a whole community that I can turn to. I don't have people that, I know there's Macworld and all that, but there's not like this IRC channel, well, that I was told to go to, that I can go in and ask a gazillion questions and interact with people and say, hey, you want to meet for lunch on this day? You know, I didn't hear about Mac teams in each state that were willing to, you know, meet and get together and pitch.
You mean like
ideas.
In real life? Like,
yes, yes.
Over a beer or something?
Yeah, we do that.
Wow. Yeah, no, so, we don't do that, I don't think.
So the one thing that you get with Ubuntu is that you get a whole community. You get not only a community that's online, but you also get what we call loco communities. And yeah, maybe we are a little loco to do this, but what it stands for is local community, actually. So we have communities in almost every state in the U.S. We have the local communities all around the world, and people get together. We have these huge release parties, like France had a release party, and they can tout the fact that they had 4,000 people at their release party.
Jeez. So yeah. So just like a Windows 7 launch party, is that what you mean, like that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Except, I mean, we even threw those parties, like some of the people in the community threw those parties, but, and, you know, even sent away for the big kits that they sent out.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did was say, here's this, but we're going to make you sit through, well, not make you, but we're going to offer you the Linux version. We're going to offer you a Linux alternative. And so not only did they have this at this release, you know, the Windows 7 or Windows whatever release party, they also said, here's Ubuntu, here's Fedora, here's, just laid it all out. So, they were also given those options as well. So people in the open source community can take a party that people are having in the proprietary world and turn it into a whole session on Linux. So
yeah, that's really, really fun. Hey, so I did want to let you plug before we go, because we haven't gone on for a little bit here. I have a feeling you and I could talk for 6 or 7 hours straight. You're the leader of the Ubuntu Women's Network or whatever. How does well, tell a little bit about that?
Well, what that is, it's called the Ubuntu Women Project. And I'm the team leader right now. And this started about 2006. We had a couple women who were involved in the Ubuntu project who said, we need this. Because women, according to a Floss polls back in 2006, women make up about 2% of the total contributors in open source.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah. Seriously. And I'll be more than happy to send you the link to those polls as well. So what was decided was, that's just too low of a number. In proprietary areas, it is a little higher, but it's still not good. It's broaching the 30% mark.
That makes no sense to me at all. I mean, I live in a world with a lot of software engineers, and not only are the numbers on the 40-50% kind of range, the huge percentage of the leaders are women. So that's astonishing.
It really is. And I think that stems from back in the day when a lot of this was really touted as by techies for techies. A lot of people were of the mindset just RTFM they didn't want to handhold. And I'm not saying women need handholding, but when the numbers are that low, you kind of need to give a place where people can springboard into the community, be it a woman who isn't comfortable with those numbers, or be it even men who are like, I don't know where to start. So the project was started in order to give women a place to discuss the issues that are happening in open source and the Ubuntu project. It's also started to retain the women who are there so they don't leave, to give them a place to sort of congregate, if you will. Also, to mentor other women, wanted to get involved in open source, because a lot of women like me, like I only got involved in this on a personal level last year. And it's groups like the Ubuntu Women group that sort of said, okay, we're here. what do you need? If you need to ask questions, we're here. If you need advice on where else to go in the community, we're here as well. If you want to know how and where to get technical information at, we're here to do that as well. So it's really, I hesitate to say support group, but in a way it is.
That's fascinating to me because I grew up with all men, all brothers, and then I went into engineering school, and it would never occur to me that I would need to go to women to get an answer. My brain just isn't wired that way, but I think a lot of women do feel more comfortable asking another woman a question.
Right, and I think...
Like they don't want to feel stupid asking the boy? I don't know. Like, we've still got that high school bit going.
Right, and I think here was my thing, because I felt very much early on, and I even said this to some of the more vocal people, was that I don't understand. I've never had a need for a women's group. I've never, I've never reached out to those groups. Mm-hmm. So when I got involved with it, I started learning why that was necessary, learn the percentages, learn how to engage other women in conversation about those type of things. And my big question, because there was a lot of controversy and stuff this past year with comments that were made in the community and stuff like that, was if we as women can't acknowledge our differences and come together presenting a united front toward a common goal, then how can we articulate and demonstrate that and expect other people? And how can we expect other people to do that if we can't amongst ourselves?
Okay.
So,
well,
if that makes sense.
I guess so. I mean, clearly there is a need, definitely by the numbers that you've been saying. I can definitely see it. So, well, this has been really interesting, Amber. I'm interested in your work and what you're doing with Ubuntu. You're going to have to take a maybe in Ubuntu 10. I'll come on board, but I'm still tenuous on how well I can get it to work for me. But how can people find out more about you and about the work that you do with the Ubuntu Women's Group? Give us a link or plug something here.
Well, you can go to www.ubuntu-women.com, and that's our website. Or you can contact, I'm not opposed to people contacting me directly, which is akgrainer at ubuntu.com.
Okay.
And I can give people, information and kind of point in those directions. But as far as you go with your Mac, I'm not one to tell people what religion they should
No, I'm just teasing about that.
Right. But I'm not one to say to people what religion they subscribe to, if any. But what I would like to do, if you would just drop me your address and stuff, I will send you when 10.04 comes out the CD.
Sure. I will take that challenge.
With some instructions and see where we can go with this and see where you can be maybe by the next release at 10.10. And
maybe we can do another checkup on me a month after that.
And yeah, I would like that. I would like to sort of let you try it out. Let's see what issues that you had with it and get that feedback and see how we can make the distribution a little bit more user-friendly.
All right, Amber, I really appreciate the time you've taken this morning to talk to us, and I hope you'll come back sometime, maybe after 10 comes out.
I sure will. And by then, like I said, I hope you're like using that Ubuntu machine a little bit more.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that special midweek show. I sure had a blast talking to Amber. I think when Ubuntu 10 comes out, she'll come back on the show and tell us all about it. In the meantime, you can keep up with my antics all week long at twitter.com/podfeed. And please keep up all the great emails with comments, complaints, and especially those dumb questions by sending me an email to allison@podfeed.com. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.